Now, we already know the judgment. We know how he's going to judge. Human beings are going to be judged pure. They're going to go into the kingdom of God. But we also know that Satan's works are going to be judged. And he has no sacrifice, and he's going into the lake of fire. But unto you I say, and unto the rest of Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, see, this Jezebel, Satan, and which has not known the depths of Satan, tells you right here, as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden. In other words, this church era, you've had this thing so much within your church era for such a long time. I'm just not going to ask you to fulfill anything else for this era of the church. Just try to survive this. Which, of course, all first fruits did. But that which you have already, hold fast till I come. So they died with the faith and the charity and the service and the patience that God gave them. And he that overcometh and keep my works unto the end, to him I will give power over nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And that's with God's love. As a vessels of a potter shall they be broken. And let's see, even as I was received of my Father. So the same thing is going to happen to all first fruits as it did with Jesus Christ. And I will give him the morning star. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. So at the end of each one of these eras or congregations, he's telling us all, to all of us first fruits, we're going to be there. The same thing is going to happen to you as happened to me, Jesus Christ, what he went through, and that the Father raised him up, and he's going to raise you up because you're his sons. And you have overcome Satan. How did you overcome him? By the Spirit of God. You have overcome that. Here in chapter 3, we start with verse 1, and we start with the Sardis era. And unto the angel of the church of Sardis write, these things saith he that has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, Christ again, I know your works, that thou hast a name. See, you have the name of the church. You have Sardis. Name, that thou livest and art dead. Not much is happening within this era of the church. He says, be watchful and strengthen the things that we remain, that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Okay. Our works, of course, will never be perfect. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard, and hold fast, and change. If, therefore, you shall not watch, I will come on you as a thief. And thou shalt not know when the hour that I come upon you. He says, thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. And they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcomes, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. But I will confess his name before the Father and before his angels. He that has an ear, let him hear what he talks to the, says to the churches. Now we know Sardis. We know they had the Sabbath. And I believe they had the Passover. And I believe that's about all. I don't know what else they have and what they had. They had very little. He says, just hold on to what remains. Even that's going to go down. Just hang in there. You're part of my church. You are my first fruits. There's just a few. There's a few names, even in Sardis, see? Just hang in there. You're accomplishing a purpose, and you're accomplishing something that I have said was going to happen. And we know the recent history of the Sardis era of the church. Now, I personally don't believe that there are really any spirit-filled Sardis members left anymore, because God generally doesn't overlap by much, and he doesn't cause confusion between one church era and another. And he certainly doesn't have a number of servants running around fighting one another, because each one has a different angel here that's doing that work, different purpose. But some of the remnants of that Sardis era are still around. Whether they have God's Spirit or not, I don't know. I think that probably they don't. But there may be a few. But they're certainly in no position to give God's other eras any problems. They're very weak. They're very small. So there's no conflict. And now we get to Philadelphia. Of course, where everyone wants to be. Because this is the good one, isn't it? This is the one we all shine in. This is the one where God really sees all of our great works and wonderful things that we've done. And we've really impressed him. We've impressed him so much that when the next era comes along, he stands on the other side of the door. That's how great we were. Well, is that really the way it was? I don't think so. But he did have a purpose to do with the Philadelphian era. So in verse 7, let's read this. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that has the key of David. Does the Philadelphians have the key of David? No. Christ has it. This is talking about Christ. He has the key of David. He's got everything. He that openeth, and no man shuts, and no man opens. Well, that has to be talking about the work. You see, no man can shut this door to this work, and we're going to expand, and we're going to go to the world, and that's not what it means, brethren. It doesn't mean that at all. God never set up his plan of salvation dependent on what work you could accomplish, or what you would say, or what you would do, or how many parts of the country you'd go to. And certainly not on any of our righteousness, because we don't have any. You're going to learn that this door is Jesus Christ. It's not for a work. And Mr. Armstrong didn't understand it. Fine, it wasn't revealed. It is revealed now, and it's explained now through God's Spirit. So all of you out there in those little scattered churches, and they're not churches at all, they're just little organizations, mainly run by little hirelings, that God never asked to start a work. It's not for open door for your work. It has nothing to do with it. And if you tell people that, you're a liar. And it shows that the truth is not in you. So take heed. Because once you've heard the truth and you go against it, watch out. I don't know what God's going to do. Be careful. You're hearing the truth. God, or Christ, is that door. And he's saying to this era of the church, that door is not going to be shut. That Christ, Jesus Christ, is always going to be open for the knowledge, for the understanding. We have to know it. We're the part that's going to be made into that bride of Christ, that symbolic bride of Christ that pictures the whole church getting ready for that wedding. Verse 8, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before you an open door, and no man can shut it. Jesus Christ was never going to be cut off. The knowledge of Him, the knowledge of the true plan of salvation, was not going to be shut off from this era. For you hath a little strength, and hath kept my word, and hath not denied my name. And brethren, all the way through Mr. Armstrong's time, we didn't deny His name. Now, we didn't understand the Father, and we didn't understand Jesus Christ, and we didn't understand the plan of salvation. But we were heading in the right direction. Now that Mr. Armstrong is dead, and we've had 10 years of history, the Laodicean era of the church, all of us Philadelphians are still here. And God opened up those doors and kept those doors open as Mr. Armstrong died. And He did provide a servant. And He did provide His revealed knowledge. And He did provide His plan of salvation. And we have never turned away. And we know the Father better. And we know Christ better. And we know the assurity of being a first fruit. And God has not lied. And we are a fulfillment of that, what's working with us right now. It says in verse 9, Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, those, of course, who are pretending and in this counterfeit to be first fruits and not, which say they are Jews, see, say they're the holy ones, and are not, but do lie. They lie. Are you following a bunch of hirelings that are lying to you? Better take stock. See, they say they're Jews, see, spiritual Jews, spiritual Israel, the first fruits, the ones that God is gathering. So behold, I will make them to come and worship before your feet, and to know that I have loved you. And we know in that new heaven and new earth, that great day, that we will be there with Jesus Christ. And we will be coming with Jesus Christ, all of the first fruits, right with Him. And when they bow down before the Father and the Son, they'll be bowing down before us as well. We're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And they will know that God loved this group that we've just been reading about, this total group of first fruits, and all the misery that they've had to go through. They'll know that He loved us. Because, in verse 10, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. How can you do that? Through the power of God's Spirit, the fruit of God's Spirit, of patience. And this time, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation. What is that? Well, he says, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell on the earth. So this is going to come. I wonder, and I'll just say this as a little speculation, when it says to try them that dwell on the earth, the more and more we see about Satan, the more I think that that refers to them. Because more and more places we're finding that talks about Satan and he dwells upon the earth. He's not going to come against God, or God's people or the people of the world. He's coming against Satan. And they are the ones that dwell on the earth. God dwells up in heaven. And then he says to us, Behold, I come quickly. Now this next statement is something we can all really realize because we've all been going through it the last 10 years. He's telling us there's going to be a warning here. the Philadelphians. Something's going to happen somewhere within this Philadelphian era, in this church, this congregation. And it's not going to come from outside, brethren. And it didn't, did it? The Pope was never going to stand up and try to talk me out of this way of life. No Lutheran, Protestant, Catholic, Muslim, anyone could talk me out of this way of life. But who could? Well, somebody from within. It says, "Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which you have, that no man take your crown." Now, we know no one can take your crown. But there are going to be some who try. It's going to come in with deception. I think we've all seen that in the last 10 years in the Worldwide Church of God. It has become the Laodicean era of the church. And they preach a gospel and a message that is not one of God's. They preach one that is of Satan and his counterfeit religion of this world. So it has been hard, hasn't it, brethren? We didn't just leave at the first instance of something happening, because we weren't supposed to. Now, some were going to be taken away so that the prophecies of the church being scattered would happen. But they had no choice in that. And we had no choice in staying here. We're not any more righteous than anyone else. God is just accomplishing something else with us. But we have had this slop and this vomit poured upon us over and over and over again. Can you feel a little bit more what that verse is talking about? We're not out doing our own thing. We've had the vomit flung on all of us too. But have they taken our crown? No, they never have. No one ever will. Satan will never get it. But there's going to be a push that way, and we've seen that push. Verse 12, "He that overcomes will I make a pillar in the temple of my God." Now, this is talking about everyone, not just us. We always want to have our positions and offices. There is no positions and offices that you are going to work toward. You're the sons of the very Father in heaven. Whatever He asks you to do, your responsibilities, you'll do. And you'll love it. "I will make a pillar in the temple of my God." This is in the first fruits. This is what the first fruits are all about. "And he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God," which is New Jerusalem. We're going to be in that holy city, which comes down out of heaven from my God. "And I will write upon him my new name. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto," oh, not just Philadelphia, "to the churches," to everyone. So now we're going to get into Laodicea. And I can tell you already that I'm going to go a little overtime. I thought this was going to be an easier, quicker sermon, but it's turning out a little longer than I expected. But it needs to be said, so we'll go and do it. People are wondering where the church is and who was part of the church. So it is a very important topic. Verse 14. Oh, we get to these dreaded Laodiceans now. Oh, we're going to hear some things now. Oh, are these people dumb and stupid and ignorant? Oh, I'm better than they are. Boy, they went astray. Now, let's look at this a little closer, brethren. It's just another part of the plan. And it comes within the history and the plan of God, which He's going to accomplish. So the church at different times has to be different ways. "And unto the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God." So coming from God again. It says, "I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. Oh, he says, I would that you were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. Brethren, here's what's happening. You ever have a lukewarm cup of coffee or lukewarm soup? If it's cold, you can drink it. If it's hot, you can drink it. But this lukewarm, yeah! You want to spew it out. He says, I wish you were hot or cold. See, he can deal with that. If you're stone cold, he can deal with that. If you're red hot, he can deal with that. What have we been seeing? We've been seeing a church that came on the scene with Mr. Joe DeCotch Sr. And you can read our other articles, and it says it in that. But I'll tell you something that most of you never heard about. When Herbert Armstrong was dying, within that six-month period or so before his death, he was looking around. He had to choose somebody to take over the work. He kept looking and looking, and the only one he found was Joe DeCotch. And he voiced this opinion, and he said, and I quote, Joe DeCotch is not the man to carry on this work. He is not going to carry on this work we've been doing for 50 years. He doesn't have it in him. He does not have spiritual depth. He does not have biblical knowledge. He is not going to carry on this work. But God is leading me to choose this man. He says, I don't know why, but he has brought me no other one. You know, when you've done a work for 50 years and you've put your entire life into this thing, in fact, it's more than 50 years, you'd kind of like to see it kind of go on in the same direction. And you'd like to have a man that's going to carry on in the same direction. You know there's going to be changes, but at least they'll go the same direction. He knew it wasn't going to. But God's Spirit was working within him. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. I know all of those men who went out and started their own congregations. They used to preach that. But when it came their time to believe it, they didn't believe it, did they? They thought God made a mistake. How could you let some dope in there that would change this whole thing and ruin what we think ought to be happening? So what did they do? They left in a little pout. They started their own. They wanted to do Mr. Armstrong's work. Well, brother, Mr. Armstrong died. And that part of the work died with him. And if someone was supposed to carry on that work, they were all there. Mr. Armstrong could have chosen one of them, but he didn't. Because God didn't want them, did he? God was not going to work through them. They were just little helpers. They weren't big spiritual giants. When Mr. Armstrong died, we didn't need their help anymore, and we still don't. He's ruled through the Spirit of God. So when Joe came in, I should say Mr. DeCotch, I knew him personally. He was a family friend for many, many years, as Mr. Armstrong was. And I have always loved both of them and will continue to, and you should too. He was a servant of God, Joe DeCotch Sr. And as you look at the 10-year history now that he is dead, you see that he fulfilled what God wanted him to fulfill, didn't he? Oh, he did a good job, didn't he? Could you have done a better job? I don't think so. That's amazing. Went from $220 million a year where they can't pay their bills. Went from 140,000 people attending the feast down to what, maybe 60,000? And I'm telling you that 40-50% of those that are still in worldwide are still Philadelphians. They're still tithing. They're still supporting the church. The Laodiceans are not. And the Philadelphians are starting to hold back more and more. And the work's going down more and more. Because the Philadelphians just, or the Laodiceans just don't have it. And they're not backing the work. In fact, there is no leader of the Laodicean era anymore. Jodacach was their first and their last leader. Because God does not muddy the waters with all kinds of servants running around on this earth. You know that the church is going down, the Laodiceans, the worldwide, and it'll continue to do so, at least for a period of time. So this is what we have, this lukewarmness. Look at what they've preached. Oh, there's no Sabbath, but yet they keep going on the Sabbath. A little confusing, isn't it? Oh, there's no holy days, but we'll keep those holy days. But you don't have to. We're kind of here on our best behavior. But maybe in a few years or maybe next year we won't keep them at all. We'll do our own days. It's lukewarm. Oh, we believe that we're first fruits. Oh, but we believe that we have to earn it too. So we see that Mr. Dukach Sr. did a good job at doing this Laodicean era, didn't he? That angel was working, wasn't it? It must fulfill this. It has to happen. They had no choice, as we, the Philadelphians, had no choice where we were. God doesn't leave anything up to you or me. He has it all done perfectly well. He perfectly planned out ahead. Let's get this back in verse 16. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. When you look up this word spew, it's violently vomit. Because Satan has been able to work within very wide parameters here. And he is bringing all of his religion. Look at the religion out in the world. And now you see it within the worldwide Church of God, don't you? Same thing, didn't change. There's no confusion here. Satan's the same always, too. He's always evil. Because God is always good. Let's go on. Verse 17. Because you say, this is his attitude. The angel allows this, and he allows Satan more to be within this era of the church. To do his thing, to do his will, to accomplish his purpose. You know, it wasn't guesswork by God when he said, well, on that last one, I'm going to let Satan really get in there. He knew exactly what was going to happen. He created this thing. When he lets him work, he knows what his work is. It's always the same. It's evil. Because you say, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. That's what they're saying. Oh, we have the true gospel now. Boy, we've got it now. Isn't this great? Did you read your last letter that came out? He thinks he's going to get more money coming in by saying all this glorious Protestant satanic garbage, and that just turns off people more. He'd be much better off just saying, send me $10, please. Somebody might do it. But this irritates people. The rhetoric irritates them even more. But you see, they're blind. They don't know it. They're running around in their own stupidity. Well, not in their own, in Satan's stupidity. We don't cause any hurt on any of them, and we don't judge them. He says, and knoweth not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. And it's all spiritual. They're standing out there naked. They're not preaching God's word at all. They say they're God's church, but there's nothing there to back it up. Now they are God's church. They do have God's spirit. And they are first fruits. But that's what we've been trying to get across this whole time, is these angels will make that church era, that congregation, do exactly what the Father said it was going to do. He says, I counsel you to buy me gold tried in fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and the shame of your nakedness does not appear. He really doesn't want anyone to see this. And anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. See, they've been blinded. They get up there and talk, and they get up there and preach, and all the time Mr. Joe DeCotte Sr. was going on allowing this to happen within the church, because most of all of it, 99% of it, wasn't even his idea. He was just being led around by this satanic influence. All the time, they weren't able to see, were they? All the Philadelphians saw what was happening right away. Red flags. But he comes back and talks in verse 19, as many as I love, he does love them, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and change. But that will happen only through the power of God's Spirit in that direction. This is all going to fit in a moment. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. And how do we know it's his voice? The Spirit has to bring us there. We can't do it on our own. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame. How did he overcome, and what did he overcome? He overcame death. The grave did not keep him, and Satan didn't keep him in that grave. He overcame through the power of God's Spirit and being a first fruit, just as all of us have. And I'm sat down, and sat down with my Father in his throne. Here again, that Spirit says to all the churches. So we see a history of the church without even going into a lot of secular history, just out of the words of God, now knowing and being able to appreciate a little bit clearer, because we've been going through this Laodicean era right now and having that vomit thrown on us, what he has allowed with the brethren in these other eras of the church. So are the Laodiceans all that bad, brethren? No. They're our brethren. They're first fruits. There are many tares in there, just like there are in the Philadelphians. There's tares here too. But we're talking about the first fruits. That's why God says don't judge one another, because you don't know what you're judging. I have a plan. I'm working it out. You don't even understand Satan yet. That's the one you should judge, not your brothers. Now we want to back this up very quickly. I did this without all of my notes here, so I have to find out where I am. Okay. For any of you who don't know already, we're going to go back there so you do. In 2 Thessalonians 2, we're not going to take the time to read the whole thing, but as you've been being taught, and it is us, the church outreach program, that have revealed these things to you. It's not these other works out there. God isn't working with those works. I'll tell you who's working with those works. It's Satan. And he's making some things physically appear like they're kind of working out. And it just confuses them even more. Once you know the true plan of salvation, all three or four of those organizations are going to have to stop. They're going to realize they're not the servants. They don't have the true plan of salvation. They don't have the true gospel of Jesus Christ. And God never asked them to do anything. But Satan will keep those things going as long as he can. But the first fruits who are scattered and are with those groups, they're going to see the light. They're going to understand. There is no other place that they can go. They have to come here. This is the only place that the truth is. It's like shooting ducks in a gallery. They have to come here. They can't go anywhere else. They don't have the truth. They only have a little portion of it. But God has moved on. He's provided a servant. He's provided a body and a mind and the truth. He has done the teaching. We're not doing the same work that other people were called to do. We're at the end time, brethren. The 2 Thessalonians 2, this chapter is talking about the man of sin. We're not going to go through the whole thing. It talks about when this time comes, when the gathering unto Jesus Christ is. And he says, you'll know that time because that man of sin is going to be revealed. In verse 3 it says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. This apostasy, this in the church, we've already seen it. We've got 10 years of history of satanic garbage being preached within the church. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. No one's revealed him. People say that he's Mr. Joey DeCotch Jr. He's Mr. Mike Fazell. He's any of those men out there in Pasadena. Well, maybe some of these men who are judging one another better look in the mirror. Hey, maybe it's you. Maybe it's the Meredith. Maybe it's the Hume. Maybe it's the Flurry. Why do you keep judging? Because you don't know the truth. Well, here is the truth. The man of sin to be revealed is Satan the devil. Period. He is Satan the devil. And he's been sitting in this church the whole time. Paul is writing this. In verse 7 it says, for mystery of iniquity doth already work. He was already there. And he is that wicked one to be revealed. A brethren, of church outreach program is revealing it and has revealed it. And Satan has been sitting within the church for all these seven eras. We just read the history. Does it sound like somebody else would have been causing that problem? No, it was Satan again. He was sitting in there, and he's allowed to work within God's church just like he is out in the world. It's his world. He's the king of it. He's the God of it. But in different eras, different times, different parameters. We see that in the Philadelphian era, he has been held back for a lot of things. A lot of things have been preached that has been satanic, frankly. But the basic things were restored. The Sabbath, the holy days, the law of God. That's our foundation that the rest of all of us Philadelphians now stand on. All the prophecy, all these other little doctrines, all these other things, bunch of satanic garbage. Misled us. When you do hear the true plan of salvation, which you should have heard already in our tapes, you will know that to be true, and you will not have questions about prophecy anymore, because it all is made so plain. But even through all of this, with Satan sitting there, the first fruits have always been covered by the blood of Christ. Now, we have gone through in lesson 3 that we gave out to the church. Over, let's turn over there real quick, over in Revelation 10. This talks about the seven thunders that uttered their voices. And we've explained that these seven thunders are not trumps. They're thunders. They're angels. These are the seven angels, these seven stars that we've been reading about. They told the history of the churches in detail. And John wanted to write it down, and God said, No, you won't write this down. That gets too specific there. We'll reveal that later. Everything else, you write, but don't write this. So we see these seven angels come and tell what happened in those seven eras of the church. Names, places, dates, whatever. It was enough where he could not write that down. It would give away God's plan. He wasn't going to do that. We also read in verse 7, and I'll read it the way it should be translated. You've already learned this. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, of the voice of the Laodicean angel, when he shall begin to sound, so when the beginning of the Laodicean era began, when Mr. Armstrong died right about that time, the mystery of God should be finished, should be revealed. That mystery, that secret would be told. The real, true plan of his salvation, as he hath declared it unto his servants, the prophets. Prophets mean one who is inspired by God. And that is exactly the time when God started to reveal to me and then to all of you this very true plan of salvation. And he's been revealing things for the last 10 years so that we know the plan of salvation. And that scripture has already been fulfilled. And the door to Jesus Christ, as we've never known him, has been opened. And through all these tapes, through all these sermons, through all the articles, if you haven't made your choice yet where God is working, you must be a tare. Because if you're a first fruit and you're a Philadelphian, you're going to be with us. There is no other place to go to. We didn't ask you to come here at first. We wanted you to see the spiritual fruit and the knowledge. Getting back to the original question, is the worldwide church of God part of God's church? The answer is yes. They are your brethren. We just read what happened to the seven eras. We see what happened to those foul things that were going on within the church. Is God happy with what Satan has done within his church? No. But he's going to kill him. He has his vengeance against him. Stop judging and hating God's people. There was one scripture that I did not read, and I'm going to go back to. Turn over to Revelation 12, verse 16 and 17. You think the Laodiceans are lost? Are they lost, brethren? They're not lost. They're first fruits. At least some of them are. We've read all the other seven eras of the church and the conclusion. But we didn't read the conclusion here of the Laodiceans. We're going to read it right here. Revelation 12, verse 16 and 17. And the earth helped the woman. This was the church. This was the Philadelphian era of the church. We know we're going to be protected somehow. I don't know how. When it's time, we'll know, I guess. He just says he's going to. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. This is all talking. You can read the scriptures, this chapter. It's when the church is fleeing. Satan wants to kill it. Because he sees it's the very bride of Christ. And if he can kill them and kill the Laodiceans, Christ is a liar, God's a liar, and he'll live forever. and he won't get thrown in the lake of fire. And then God loses. But God doesn't lose. And Satan is going in the lake of fire. But look what he says here in verse 17. This is your brethren. This is the Laodicean error. These are first fruits for a purpose. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. Who is the only ones left? Laodiceans. But look at it. There's been a transformation here. Something has happened. Which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. How does that happen, brethren? Well, that happens. You have to remember what's happening during those 3.5 years. The two witnesses come on the scene with all the power of God given to them. They're his witnesses, his representatives. Well, all the miracles that they want to do, well, that they're inspired to do by God, plus all those trumps will be opened. The Philadelphians are protected somewhere, somehow, whatever his protection is, they're protected. The Laodiceans are still here. Those first fruits are still here. As this starts to gear up and the two witnesses do their job, somewhere along the line in that first part of 3.5 years, the Spirit of God is going to wake up in all of these Philadelphians. And the world is going to know that the two witnesses are representatives of God's true church. The only ones that the world will see at that time that are in God's true church and have God's Spirit are all these Philadelphians. So is this working in order, in the right stage, to have a purpose? Yes. So the Philadelphians had to be spewed out at this point. He says he's going to knock on the door. How is he going to knock? He's going to knock on the door with the two witnesses. They are his servants. They have his voice. And the sheep will hear that voice. And their ears will go up. And their eyes will see. And they'll come. And they'll rally around the two witnesses that are possibly going all over the world. It doesn't say they're going to be in Jerusalem for 42 months. It says the Gentiles are going to be there. He says these witnesses are going to die there. But they may be traveling all over the world. And wherever, they're going to be accessible to the Laodiceans. And the Laodiceans will know, and they will realize immediately, and they will continue then at that point. They'll go back and they will keep those commandments. And they'll have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And Satan's going to even be madder at them than he was. And he's going to stir up this world and the people in the world that he has total control of. And then they're going to kill all the Laodiceans. He said it was going to happen. It's going to happen. And that's the way it's going to happen. Are they your brothers? Yes. When you're protected. And it may not be in a hotel with room service, but you will be protected. We all pray it's going to be room service. But you know, I kind of think it's not. But, well, you know, if you don't ask, you don't get. So we'll throw out our ask, and then, of course, he'll do his will. But you're going to be hearing the news reports. You're going to be hearing and seeing your brethren killed, slaughtered, murdered, their children killed. You're going to be praying for them. Don't come down too hard on them. Realize what God is doing. Realize that we are Philadelphians and he has a different work, different purpose for us. You know, over in John 10, we don't have to go there, but it talks about that flock. And it talks about that flock following, or at least portions of that flock following the hirelings. Because the hirelings really didn't care. They weren't really of God anyway. And he says there's another fold there. Remember, it's the great harvest. There's sheep too. All these people out here walking the streets that don't know yet, they're going to be there. They'll come up in that second resurrection, in the great last day, in the great harvest. The hirelings have gone out and started their own churches. An awful lot of them are men crept in unaware. They've been under deep cover. Satan's planted them in here for years and years, and he's moved them up in the ranks. Not all of them, but some of them. They work for Satan and his fear religion. Watch out. Don't make a mistake or you could go to hell. Oh, I know it's a free gift, but it's a free gift only if you kind of earn it. And they double talk with that, but that's what they're saying. No, Jesus Christ gave you salvation when he gave you his spirit. But these servants, other servants, didn't have any faith. They really didn't. That comes through the Spirit. You know, you remember, these ministers were out in all these church areas. They didn't serve the church area. They demanded that the church area serve them. There weren't very many cases that the ministries actually were converted and actually served right. They ruled. They took. They preached fear. You know, when Mr. DeCotch was put in there and the whole church started to go the way it did, we never fought Mr. DeCotch. 10 years, brethren. We've been knowing who we are for 10 years. We've had this truth for 10 years. But we didn't come against God's servant. That was God's servant, Joe DeCotch Sr. They don't have any servants anymore. God doesn't confuse it. God's not going to have two or three of his servants running around the earth at the same time. He will with the two witnesses, but that'll be like Moses and Aaron. He works through one. He speaks through one. He reveals through one. The other one is there to help. And that's the way that will work out. But we never went up against Mr. DeCotch, and we never called the names. Oh, we saw the transgressions. We saw what they were doing. But through God's Spirit, he had us respect and honor his servants, just like his Spirit always works. We didn't go out and try to start another work against Mr. DeCotch. It'd be kind of foolish, unproductive, wouldn't it? But look how many went out and did. And they are foolish, and they are unproductive. Look at when the Spirit worked, in biblical example, with King David and Saul. King David was appointed by God to be that king, but so was Saul. And there was an overlapping time there, wasn't there? In fact, David was right in his own house. But he never lifted his sword. He never went against Saul. In fact, when the man who killed Saul rejoiced, he killed him. That was God's servant. You let God do it. You let God work those things out. Look at Samuel can't remember his name. Eli. Yeah. It was Samuel and Eli. Samuel was brought to the temple by when he was a little kid to learn all that way. And God even spoke to him later and says, you're going to be the anointed. You're going to be the prophet. But here he had to live under this thing with Eli and his sons. And his sons were evil, committing fornication and stuff right in the temple. You know, when Eli died, the sons were taken over. Not much chance there for Samuel. But God's Spirit kept Samuel. And then he killed. God had those sons killed, and he had Eli killed, and boom, Samuel was in there. But he didn't raise his hand against them. And even with the Spirit of God within Jesus Christ and the Jews, he didn't tell them to do anything different. He didn't stop what was happening there in Jerusalem. And we're under that same Spirit, and we haven't done that either. We never ask them to change. We don't ask the Laodiceans today to change. But now, after his death, after Jodokach's death, God has pushed us forward where we've put out three lessons to the church, and those will go out even more over the internet later. And he has made us come forth, and he has made us speak, and people are listening. You know, ask yourselves, those who are in any confusion right now, ask yourself, after hearing all these tapes, after reading the material, who has taught you these things? Has those little leaders, self-proclaimed leaders? No, they haven't. Who taught you about Satan? Who taught you about Christ's true sacrifice? And the Spirit and how it works? Who showed you the true meanings of the seven holy days and that great plan? Who told you about the two trees in the Garden of Eden? And who revealed the man of sin? They didn't. Who told you the truth about the millennium and what was going to happen? About the two resurrections, that there weren't three, that there were only two. Who showed you who you were, the 144,000? Who taught you about the seven thunders and Joshua and Zerubbabel and Gog and Magog and Armageddon and the timing of God's plan? That Satan was going to die twice. Who told you that? What about the true judgment and that second death? About all men being saved. And the greatest thing that anyone could ever teach. The great last day. And what that pictures for mankind. You know, think about it, brethren. God is working only here. He's working with one servant, with one spirit, with one mind, with one body, one church, and one truth. Be where God is working. And don't hate your brothers. Love them. Pray for them. Those who have eyes, let them see. Let them see what the true truth is going on and what the church outreach program really is doing. And above all, love your brethren, regardless of what era they are in. They're fulfilling God's purpose. So until next week, we will say goodbye.